Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Good Friday, we look at John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." What is truth? The word of the Lord. An 18th century German philosopher had this to say about truth. He said, "All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. And third, it is accepted as being self-evident." Let me go through that again. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it is accepted as being self-evident. Now, there's a lot about Arthur Schopenhauer's philosophy that I don't agree with. But when it comes to the truth and that statement, if you'll permit me on Good Friday to say he nailed it. Even as Jesus, the truth, was nailed to a cross. See, it was on that day before, on Maundy Thursday, when Jesus shared with his disciples, he proclaimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, if you listen carefully, when it came to that word truth, he said, "I am the truth." He didn't say, "I am truthful." Now, of course, he is. The sinless Son of God does not lie, but he didn't just say, "I'm truthful." And he also didn't say, "I'll tell you the truth," though he did often say that. In this case, he said, "I am the truth." He and many others, including you and I, tell the truth. But Jesus was so much more than that as he stood there before Pilate that day. He is truth itself. I am the truth. And as we consider that witness here on this Good Friday, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So it was quite a few hours after Jesus had declared to his disciples that he was the truth, that Jesus was there in the Jewish court before the Sanhedrin. Already they had passed a death sentence on Jesus. But of course they had no power to carry it out because they were the subject nation. And if nothing else, the Romans were shrewd. They were certainly not going to give capital punishment powers to a nation who was ready to just explode at any point. And so even though they had declared that Jesus must die, well, that mockery of a court had to take Jesus before the Roman governor in order to carry out the death sentence that they had declared. Thing was, they couldn't go before Pilate and say, "Well," even though they did say it, "according to our laws, he must die." Because what did Pilate say to them? He said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Done. Thrown out of court. They'd never get it to stick. So they had to come up with something in order to make the punishment stick. And of course, they were clever. Their sin-darkened, hell-poisoned hearts rose to the challenge. They said, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." Now, the truth be told, every single one of them hated paying taxes to Caesar. They were all against paying taxes to Caesar. But that was just one more nail in Jesus' cross. Because here they were saying he was a king, and Pilate, well, no self-respecting Roman, hearing that someone was setting themselves up as a king opposed to Caesar, there's no way he could let that one go. At the very least, he had to look into it. And so he brought Jesus back into his own court, and he asked Jesus, "Are you a king then?" He received the answer, "I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." The Bible doesn't say, but I gotta believe that there was a good solid second or more that Pilate just sat there looking Jesus square in the face, like, "You gotta be kidding me." But at the same time, Jesus said it with such conviction, such a ring of truth, that jaded Pilate, all he could do would simply respond, "What is truth?" Dismiss it, because he knew that he could not go toe-to-toe with Jesus on the truth, especially when it came to religious matters. And I suppose we wouldn't expect any other reaction from Pilate. After all, he had been steeped in a Roman culture that couldn't figure out what was going on with the gods. First, they idolized the Greek gods, and then they came up with their own gods, and then they just sort of dismissed them as being so whimsical and worthless, and it finally came down to religion was nothing but something that you could laugh at and scoff at or use to manipulate people, or at the very least, it didn't even hold people to a common morality. To him, religion was absolutely worthless. To him, the answer was simple: there is no truth. And you know it's no different today, this unbelieving world in which we live. It still asks that very same weary question: what is truth? Of course, it takes a lot of different forms, doesn't it? Even if it is still the same absolute truth in matters of morality and religion simply doesn't exist, or so the world insists, right? What seems true for one generation is dismissed by the next. Just listen to some of the so-called wise questions that continue to be asked today. Was the world created in 6 days by an almighty God, or did it all come into being with a big bang? Did God really make man as the crown of his creation, or did man claw his way to the top of the evolutionary ladder? Are human beings merely advanced animals who can satisfy their desires in any way that they want to, or does God have very specific roles and rules? Is all mankind sinful and in need of salvation, or is there no absolute moral standard by which we need to live? Is salvation something people can work out for themselves, or is it a gift of God? Sadly, the world answers, truth is relative. What's right is wrong, what's wrong is right. Let's just all get along. Doesn't really work, does it? Truth is truth. What might be wrong for one person might be right for another. What might be right for one is wrong for another. And in the end, you're left asking the question, what is truth anyway? Thanks be to God, we know the right answer to Pilate's jaded question on that first Good Friday. By God's grace, many of us have known since we were little children the truths of salvation found only in Jesus Christ. The issue for us is not so much what is truth, but I think the challenge for us is, what is truth worth? Are we willing to stand up for the truth? Are we willing to walk in line with the truth, even if it means that we are uncomfortable, or we are the ones who are accused, or we don't like the way the truth goes? What is the truth worth? Again, over these last weeks of Lent, over 40 days leading up to this day and ultimately the empty tomb, we search and we ponder and we think on and we pray about the truth. Jesus suffering and dying for you and me. Jesus going to that cross, willingly, lovingly, sacrificing himself for you and me like no one else in all of human history, loving us to the depth of his soul, loving you and me to the depths of hell itself, to make sure that you and I would not taste eternal death, eternal hell, to make sure that you and I would know only forgiveness and light and life, and yes, know the truth. Jesus answered Pilate that day. He said, I came into the world to testify to the truth, and that has everything to do with my hearing of the truth, my reading of the truth, my studying of the truth, my sharing the truth, my living the truth, and its importance to me. Truth was standing there in the flesh, right in front of Pilate that day. And it proclaims a message. The truth is that it shows us what we were, sinful and condemned. But more importantly, the truth shows us who we are now in Jesus Christ, forgiven and righteous. We no longer need to speculate. What is truth? Truth is right there in Jesus Christ. In fact, if we were to put this into a mathematical equation, we would simply say Jesus equals truth. Jesus equals salvation. I'm not a math guy, but even I can get that. It's simple. It's true. It's self-evident. He is truth in action. He stepped from eternity into time, clothed divinity in humanity. He shed his blood as the God-man to make himself the truth of our salvation. And if we want to know how to be saved, there's only one answer. One true answer. Christ. If we want to tell others how they can be saved, there is only one answer, one true answer, Christ. We can live without the so-called truths of this world, but we cannot be saved without that one answer, that one true answer, Christ. Pilate missed it that day. He had the truth standing in front of him, but he wouldn't listen. Today, Jesus, the truth, stands before you and me again in his word. From infancy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He reminds us through the Apostle Paul. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. He also reminds us through that same Apostle Paul. And he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He who is the truth assures us. Would we know the glorious truth of how sinners become saints, how enemies of God become his precious children, how souls hell-bent become heaven-bound, then we need to listen to Jesus. We need to drink in his word. We need to diligently study the scriptures that testify about Jesus, the truth. Children have a way of asking questions that sometimes leave us maybe a little uncomfortable. Maybe we don't quite know how to answer their question, or sometimes we don't even know what the answer is. You know, some of the questions like, why is that man homeless? Or, why do the next door neighbors seem to have a lot more toys than we do? Or, why do adults cry when they're happy? Questions that are difficult to answer and explain, particularly in words that clearly communicate what you're trying to say. But here's the thing. When those children ask those questions and you respond, you know that whatever comes out of your mouth is going to be the absolute truth. Until they learn years later that you didn't know what you were talking about. But for the time being, it is the absolute truth to them. You know, we have a lot of questions for God. And God, of course, answers those questions in his own time and in his own way. But we need not ask him what is truth. We know who is the truth. Even then, as we bring our questions and our hearts before the Lord, as dear children approach their dear Father, may we listen with those childlike hearts of faith that recognizes that when he speaks, it is the absolute truth. God, help us to treasure the answer, Jesus. I am the truth, because it shows his wondrous love for sinners like you and me. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.